Welcome to a brand new episode of the Z2 Podcast, where three friends run into droid enemy fire. As always, I am your tentacled hero, Jedi Zach.
I am your Roger, Commander Zach.
You son of a bitch.
We went over this, how much I love Kit Fisto.
You son of a bitch.
We went over this.
You son of a bitch.
Of all the Jedi in the world, why did you want to be the same one as me?
Then I guess I'll be the fucking piece of shit, Ki Adi Mundi.
He's great.
He cares about the droids' attack on the Wookiees.
And then he got killed in one shot.
No, he actually made a fight against
the... He tried. He blocked a couple.
Heroes, or not the heroes, against his clone troopers on Megiddo. Come on, man.
Hashtag
he was literally the only Jedi that fought back.
No, a couple of them tried to fight back.
Elias Sakura tried to take her lightsaber out and got gunned down.
Yoda.
There were a couple that actually fought back.
Plo Koon got shot down.
Yoda.
I'm just mentioning everyone that we saw in Revenge of the Sith.
Yoda.
He successfully fought back.
Exactly.
That's why I said Ki Adi Mundi tried to fight back.
They all tried.
And got so far.
None succeeded.
Anyways.
There is no try.
Speaking of not succeeding.
There is only two.
Holy shit. Everything with EA got so much worse over the past week.
And I quote, EA sucks. Continues to suck. Massive dick.
So, after all the drama of, like, everyone throwing up in arms about the microtransactions, and then the comment we read last week on the podcast, that Reddit comment from the EA community team, is literally the most downvoted comment in the entirety of Reddit history.
It's almost like 500,000 downvotes.
So, EA decided to remove the microtransactions for now. For now. And EA stock price has gone down 2.49%.
Yeah, so I mean, they're going to try and redesign it so it's not. Oh, you got to play 40 hours just to unlock something.
One hero.
Not even unlock anything else with the hero.
And see, that's the thing is, you get to unlock one hero, either good or bad. If you're not playing on the side that has heroes,
doesn't matter.
Fuck you. You don't get to use your hero.
Joke's on you. If I own the game, I would only be playing Starfighter mode.
So you don't even care about heroes.
No, yeah.
He doesn't.
I would be in my X-Wing and I'd go pew, pew, pew.
Because that's... Well, if you're not a rebel scum.
I would be in my droid Starfighter and go giggy, giggy, giggy.
What about the TIE Interceptor?
I don't know.
Just keep going.
How's the Millennium Falcon go?
This is perfect practice for my new D&D character, by the way.
The pod racer goes.
I know.
I accidentally revealed to Zach what my D&D character is going to be.
Was it the one we already talked about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because Kayla had Volo's Guide, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to pick one of the one of the new character classes out of here. And then I said it in front of Zach, and I'm like, by the way, here's what can happen if I play this character. But, so, all of the shit with EA has gone down so much that Disney CEO Robert Iger, did not, in fact, speak with EA, though he is described as being alarmed by the anger online. So, I mean, the best way to put this is, how do you fuck up Star Wars?
When you pay... out the who knows how much EA paid for the license for this. I'm sure they're just still so desperate to just earn their money back on it that they're doing anything to make money from it. So,
ooh, I know how you fuck up Star Wars. Two words: Trade Federation.
The Sith scum. Oh God, never mind. Revoke that. Tumblr, please don't get angry. No, Tumblr would be happy with me for saying Sith scum. As three cis mailed runners of this podcast.
Did you just assume I was a cis male?
I mean, it's kind of obvious.
I thought cis was only for white male.
No, it's like your natural.
No, because there's cis and then there's cis.
Are we really talking about this right now?
But the Confederation of Intergalactic Systems really did fuck up the Star Wars universe here. And that's what EA has become.
It honestly seems like they just don't have any creative freedom. Like, Disney is, I mean, yeah, they gave them the license, but it seems like they're so, like, overbearing of, like, you can't do this. This has to fit into the lore. You can't do all these other
things.
But
the thing is, if you fit into the lore, so they had, like, a 5-hour campaign with a random new character from the universe.
And a story is apparently putting it very loosely.
And, I mean, if anything, they should have went, it's like, okay, what made the original Battlefront 2 work that everyone loved it so much? Oh, you play as a clone trooper that just went through the entirety of the Clone Wars from Genosis all the way through the fall of the Jedi Temple. Huh. I guess we could have done that. And when they phased out clones, you could have been, your character could have been a clone commando trooper.
It's kind of interesting to think about that the old Battlefront 2 was essentially multiplayer only.
No, it had a story.
Well, yeah, it had a story, but it was like you pretty much did the same thing you did in multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
Just with, oh, okay, I'm going to go to this planet now, or this planet.
Legitimately, you play the multiplayer maps just with objectives on it. It's almost like the entire campaign for the original Battlefront 2 is training you to play multiplayer, and that's what campaigns mm-hmm. should do. It's like you play Battlefield campaign, great, grandiose campaign, but like 10% of people actually played the campaign. I mean, yeah. I bought it, and it I
fun,
barely played it.
It's a fun
it.
Little campaign.
Yeah, I guess I essentially did buy it for you, because I was playing nothing. Steve, what are you looking up?
I went down a rabbit hole of cis male.
Oh, okay. God.
There's a whole video on how to be a cis male.
Oh, Jesus. So is it a bad thing or a good thing? I don't know.
According to Tumblr, no.
I don't understand.
So as a just definition term, no. Cisgender is just you identify as the sex you were assigned with when you were born. So if you're a male and you identify as male, you're cisgender.
That's the people we were talking about.
But it has become such a derogatory term in the...
Because of Tumblr.
Feminism world.
No, because of Tumblr.
Toxic
right,
feminism,
but it's leaked into that.
Yeah.
That if you identify as the gender you were born as, you're a piece of shit, essentially.
Okay.
So if you're a cis white male, fuck you.
As the one Asian representative of this podcast, I am not as dirty cis as the two of you.
Yeah, no, because we were born white and male. We're the walking scum of the earth.
Okay.
You are the walking dead.
Even though I've literally not done anything.
How many listeners do you think we lost already?
Exactly.
Who knows? They've probably tuned out.
But no,
Tim probably fast-forwarded already.
Because you were born as a white male, you're a walking piece of shit. How dare you? You should reevaluate your choices in life.
I think Zach should dye his hair blonde.
No, I'd look terrible.
Maybe get some blue contact.
Nobody in my family has blonde hair. Well, actually, my brother did. He was born with blonde hair, but it turned brown.
Yeah, he'd be like a Super Saiyan.
He's like, what? Can you show me what about a 90-degree angle looks like with your hand?
You mean like that?
Yeah, but maybe a 45-degree angle. Like
something a little more acute.
If you were to point
like,
maybe...
Like a stretch, right?
If you were to go like 45 degrees straight out from you, can you kind of point with your hand where that would be?
Oh, like down there.
Maybe more towards up in the air.
If you were to hail Hydra with one hand, what would it look like?
Like that.
There you go.
Now, if you go ahead and extend those fingertips, what would that look like?
Hail Hydra.
Oh, God.
But I'm really disappointed because Battlefront 2 was going to be my one fall release game I was actually get, or winter release game I was going to get. Because I am that person that if you throw the word Star Wars on it, I am going to get it and play it and cherish it forever. But
I don't know. Battlefront just, it seems like they're still just reskinning Battlefield and then adding Starfighters.
Well, it seems like they Call of Duty did it. It's like, oh, you died. All right, you're back in the fight. Oh, you died. You're back in the fight. Whereas, like, the original Battlefront 2 is more, like, arcadey. Like, oh, God, I'm getting shot. Panic jump. Quick. Turn around and shoot. But now it's like, hey, look at all the things you could be if you had all the credits. You know Black Karsten from the Darth Vader solo comic? He's in the game.
Who?
The Black Chewbacca.
Oh, Darth Vader. Black Karsten. That guy.
Why does it gotta be black?
That's literally his name.
Why does it gotta be his name? Why does it gotta be black?
He chose the name.
He's a gladiator.
You ask him.
Touche.
Like many Wookiees from Kashyyyk,
Kashyyykians.
Like many Wookiees, they were all enslaved. And he willingly went into slavery so he can fight in a gladiator pit.
So
he could prove Hulk. How strong he was.
Spartacus, but not.
Spartacus, but only for himself.
Yeah. I just want to fight.
Planet Hulk.
Yeah.
Sakaar. Yeah. I mean, it's the story of the fall. It's just EA royally fucking up even more. I think the biggest problem is something that another podcast I listen to called Dude Soup put it is they applied a free-to-play model to a paid game that people are expecting to have these features unlocked.
Or at least easily obtainable.
Yeah.
Like Call of Duty, I don't go into the multiplayer on that expecting to have every single weapon. I expect to work
But you know how the progression goes. Yeah. You know, like, oh, at level 48, I know I'm going to get this gun.
I know it's not going to take me 1.2 years. But now the people at Activision
are like, here's a community server where you can watch all of your friends open their loot boxes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's an interesting touch.
Whereas, like, I don't know, we kind of talked about this last week where we were saying that if it is essentially going to be like this free-to-play model, have all the characters get unlocked, but give like them cosmetic skins.
Yes, exactly. Like, oh, that's a fancy Luke Skywalker that guy has. Like, oh, he must have put in a lot of time into this. Cool.
Oh, shit. How about that's Cloud's, anime.
How about Cloud City Luke Skywalker? Hoth Luke Skywalker?
Dark Side Luke Skywalker. Something original.
Mark Hamill himself.
Why am I here?
Help.
The Joker Luke Skywalker.
But you remember, like, the big outrage last year was No Man's Sky was $60.
Yeah.
And the big outrage 2 years ago was...
Well, no, the big outrage with No Man's Sky was it was not even close to what they were originally promised.
Yeah.
You know how it's supposed to be a giant Space universe Minecraft. That everyone can live in, but you'd never actually see another person. That's a good way of making...
Until this year.
Well, yeah, until this year.
Finally added multiplayer.
But that is a very... interesting way of like, yeah, you can explore this galaxy for 50 hours and you'll never see another person. Well,
and then two people went and found the same exact planet. It's like, nope, we don't see each other. We're standing in the same fucking spot.
They didn't lie. You can go 50 hours without seeing another person just because you'll never see another person. Because
nobody's playing it anymore.
It's my heaven.
I mean, have you seen all the updates to that game now?
It doesn't even look the same.
It's pretty much like what they originally promised. It's like, oh, hey, you did it. A year later. Probably a year too late.
Here's the way they should have done it. Pull Ubisoft. $30 base game, $30 season pass. Boom. And again, 2 years ago. I mean, last year was No Man's Sky. 2 years ago was like Ubisoft recovering from all of the shit they have done.
Yeah.
And
now they're killing it.
Everyone loves them now.
Yeah, and there was a report that they've managed to hold off against Vivendi, the big French conglomerate that was trying to buy them out, which people were really concerned about because then they'd probably lose a lot of creative freedom. But since they've done so well this past year, they have been able to like show like, hey, we destroyed third quarter projections. Go fuck off.
Was Ubisoft the makers of The Division?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They had, well, this year, they've revived Rainbow Six Siege. Well, the community did for
Season
that.
2.
Ghost Recon Wildlands is apparently doing really well.
They have
a
multiplayer now.
That's what the big debacle of 2015 was.
The Division?
Gamergate.
Fuck that.
Arkham Knight on Steam.
Oh, yeah, with all the graphics card issues.
Metroid Prime Federation Force.
Hail the Trade Federation. Samus, Sis Scum confirmed.
Final Fantasy VII going episodic.
Still, I still have no problem with that whole concept.
Igneous is coming out pretty soon.
December, woo! The multiplayer update's out.
Mm-hmm. People have been making crazy avatars with that. I'm like, you're so animu.
It's my dream. Yeah. Oh god, Ignis. Episode Ignis is gonna be heartbreaking.
If there's not a cooking mini game in that, I would be disappointed.
The whole thing's not a cooking game, and then everything else is just mini games.
That's his cat. Oh my god, that's his punchline before he shoots someone in the head. I've discovered a new recipe.
He doesn't have a gun though.
Why would Ignis shoot people?
Okay, he has knives. He throws a knife in their face.
Or he can also use a spear.
Never used him with a spear. I did. Just the knives.
Ah, I gave him a spear. Because I was the only one who really used magic.
Yeah, that's true. I never use magic. I like being up and close and watching those robot eyes die. But anyways, on the bright side of things, this is Justice League's 16-year anniversary. Like, woo! The cartoon. It's crazy. So that means that show came out when we were 8?
Mm-hmm.
Dear God. I'm old. Not really. I hate saying that I'm old.
I still remember watching the first episode when it first premiered.
Oh my god, it's gray slime!
It's just like how we were discussing Naruto on our way back. How your kids were talking about Naruto, like, it was the show that they grew up with. Like, homie, it started before you even born.
They're not even into Dragon Ball Super. I'm like, yo.
Come on, Ultra Instinct.
Like, Dragon Ball Z, the entire Dragon Ball franchise is like, dude is down on his luck, rises above all expectations, defeats the villain. I'm like, yeah, that's the message all kids should hope and strive for. Now they're just like, no, I'm Sasuke. No one should ever strive to be Sasuke. Wow.
Sasuke is a piece of
shit. You can strive to be Sasuke in Boruto.
Sasuke, where he's, Boruto's dad!
Where he's actually redeemed and he's a nice person who cares about his family. But anything before that, you don't want to be that Sasuke. Even original Sasuke. All I want to do is kill my brother. No.
Brother. I'm going to burn the Hidden Leaf Village.
What? I'm going to become Hokage.
Essentially, Sasuke was like, I'm going to kill my brother. What? He was set up by the President of the United States? I'm going to kill the President. What? All the presidents knew about this? I'm going to kill all of the United States of America.
And become the president.
Now I'm going to be the president. Like, that's the best analogy I can think of is like, what the fuck, Sasuke?
I do love all the memes that have come out from the Boruto seasons where Naruto finds Sasuke. He's like, Sasuke, Boruto's dad! And now it's like, what is it? It's Boruto's dad and they're like, I think the Reddit has come up with like two different names for Naruto and Sasuke at this point.
Sarada's dad.
Well, yeah, Naruto's just Boruto's
dad. Sakura's husband!
Like, if you go and find like clips from Naruto on YouTube, all the comments are like, man, look at this great episode from Boruto's dad.
So it's great.
Garbage.
Boruto's pretty dope, though.
I believe it.
Go kill yourself.
My students are like, it's not that old. The manga came out in 1997. The anime came out when I was in middle school. This anime
you haven't
is older
died
than
a
most
little bit
you.
Until you hear Naruto say believe it like 17 times in an episode.
Believe it.
The Chunin exams.
He's going to become the Hokage.
Believe it. Literally would say it after every sentence. I'm like, I'm going to strangle you.
And then they
you.
Couldn't really decide if he had closed eyes or opened eyes or...
You know, my students don't That's believe right. me when I said Shikamaru is the best character in that entire show. Like, he's the only one that doesn't have any problems other than his mentor dying.
And then his dad.
Asuma.
Wait, is his dad die?
Yeah, he gets hit by a meteor.
Oh, yeah, they all get blown the fuck up.
His dad and Ino's dad.
That's right.
It's like, here's how we defeat them.
Shikamaru.
It's like, oh, cool, we don't know how to defeat them.
Oh, God, Sephiroth is here.
God. But dude, no, really, Machina Bridged. Machina Bridged is so good.
Steve's still getting over sick. I think I'm getting sick.
Oh yeah,
it's wonderful.
I can't fully hear out of my left ear right now.
Nice.
Because I'm so congested.
Tim knew we were recording somehow and sent us a sequel meme, dirty bastard. I believe in the prequel memes. I believe in democracy. Old you've become. Something far worse has happened to you, and it's the scene from freaking Kylo Ren and Lord Seneca. Freaking first appearance.
There were some great prequel memes when all the microtransaction bullshit started coming out.
Don't you get into prequel memes too?
Oh, I've already been in prequel memes and Free Folk.
No prequel memes.
And then the greatest part is when they join together to create a whole new level of meme.
Oh, God. That like month where prequel memes were in Free Folk, I was like losing my shit.
This was so great. It was so applicable to so many things.
And you guys were giving me shit when I became Chancellor.
Oh, God. I gave you too much power.
Unlimited power.
Immediately revoked it.
So, moving on. Because we just need to move on.
Yeah.
Mark Miller uses his Netflix buyout to revitalize his hometown, which is he received like a 9-figure sum and then is like, yep, I'm just going to put it all back into my hometown.
What does that mean, though? Please tell me he's not gentrifying his hometown.
He's like building homes and adding
okay,
to like
Okay, so he's actually like doing public service.
Yeah.
That's good. Good on you, Mark Miller. As much shit as people gave you, at least you're doing good with.
Yeah, and I can't wait for like the first Netflix comic to come out, apparently.
Oh, yeah. That's so fucking weird.
But his next, the next comic, like new comic coming out of Miller World or Millar World, whatever you want to call it, is going to be the new Kick-Ass series about a 30-year-old female who's kick-ass. She was formerly part of the military and everything. I'm like, so oh, this is an interesting premise.
Kate Kane.
Was Kate ever part of the military?
Yes. She got kicked out of the military for being gay.
Oh, no. I'm thinking Kate Bishop.
Oh, no. Kate Bishop, no. She's too snarky for the military.
Yeah. Like, the new female Kick-Ass even has, like, a child daughter and everything. And it's like, huh, interesting premise. I'll be interested to see when that comes out eventually. And then moving forward, we were talking about how there's... Sorry, I found my Dear Dark Side.
Oh, God.
Dear Dark Side. I'll read one later.
Yeah, those are great.
But when we were talking about how like companies have trying to force creative control, Jeff Lemire came out this week and he made a remark and Bleeding Cool reported about it. And this is about him believing that writing his X-Men run was a nightmare. He says, certain books like Moon Knight, Total Freedom. They never gave me any notes, and you can kind of see it in the work. It's the best thing I did. The X-Men stuff was kind of a nightmare, to be honest. Really difficult. I came into it, and they already had storylines in place. They had storylines in place I had to use that I probably wouldn't come up with myself, and I felt editorial was restricting what they wanted, and too many notes. And then you start second-guessing yourself. It's not a good situation. That wasn't a great experience, but on the flip side, doing Moon Knight was really fun. So, it's kind of a bummer, because I love everything Lemire touches, except, and the one thing I didn't like was his X-Men run.
I think my problem is he kind of writes very samey. Like, he has that one theme that he likes to reuse. Like, I think we've talked about it before of how it's like, what it means to be this, what it means to be this, what it means to be this.
Everything revolving around what does it mean to be human? Like a Descender,
to a degree.
X-Men.
Plutona was a little bit of that.
And it was really interesting because I'm looking at I was reading his Old Man Logan versus his Extraordinary X-Men run at the same time. And I'm like, Old Man Logan is so good. What happened over here?
Why is X-Men not great?
So it makes sense that like Marvel editorial was like, hey, here's some stuff you have to do. By the way, by issue 5, Nightcrawler has to come back. By the way, you should do this whole thing with Mr. Sinister and a clone of Scott Summers. I'm like,
I didn't even get that far.
It's within the first arc.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, I don't even remember that.
Yeah. Oh, Terrigen Mist.
I remember that.
Jean Grey doesn't want to be part of the X-Men. An Old Man Logan comes to recruit her.
I remember that.
Yeah. And then talking about a few people on Reddit, one person was like, user Astro _Zombie talked about, is that why Old Man Logan never got the cross-country hit list arc? The book ended on such a flat note. Well, the book hasn't ended. It's still ongoing with the different creators.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm like, I even chimed in on that. I'm like, hey, you know, actually... The cross-country arc, murder arc, never really happened because he ran into the next person on his list, who was Amadeus Cho, not Bruce Banner. So he realized, oh, the future's not set in stone.
Hmm.
Yeah. I mean, his Old Man Logan run was so great. And then towards the end, I'm like, yeah, I think it's best that I part when Jeff Lemire parts with the series.
Yeah.
But I guess, like, the new series...
It's probably going to be how I am when Bendis leaves Miles Morales book, just because it's like he's the only one who's ever touched that character.
Mark Waid.
I feel like it's and I don't like Mark Waid's interpretation
okay
that much.
That's fair.
So I'm probably just part ways with that book once he leaves as well. I always associate him writing that character.
Mm-hmm. It seems like someone else is taking over Jessica Jones after this next arc. It's a she, so everyone's kind of speculating who it's going to be. Defenders is ending with his run.
Mm-hmm.
And then his Punisher series never got to come out, which is kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
But I'm sitting here, I'm like, you know,
I'm going to mute myself if we need more coffee.
Oh no, Zach's muting himself to get more coffee. Dad's not here, Steve. What do we do?
Die.
Okay, Zach says those lights are supposed to be there.
Well, that woke us up.
You okay? His foot hurts. Breaking news. You weren't here when we really... Were you here when we talked about Bendis leaving?
No, I was dying in bed.
Okay. What are your thoughts on it? I know you don't really pick up too many of his books, but for a lot of people, he was like their original gateway into comics.
I mean, it'll be interesting to see what he does with whatever he gets at DC. Because, you know, probably have a little creative freedom, but not too much.
Right.
Because DC likes to keep their characters the same, it seems. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't like people going too crazy unless they put an Elseworld tag on it.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Whereas, like, the Marvel Universe really doesn't have that Elseworld flagship anymore, where people can just write whatever stories they want, which is kind of a bummer. Like, I would love to see someone do something way different with Marvel characters. That like, hurt, but... I want to see Cyclops back.
That'll be interesting to a degree. Later.
It's just going to be...
It'll be me yelling, oh, shit.
Should you put, like, that beep noise in between?
I could, yeah.
But speaking of creative control, Axel Alonso has stepped down as editor-in-chief at Marvel with C.B. Cebulski replacing him, which is crazy.
Who?
So
who's C.B. Cebulski?
I'll hit that after a minute. He was an editor with them already. Okay. So C.B. Cebulski says, "It's crazy. It's an honor. I'm blown away by the opportunity. We always want to hear about the writers and artists, but people forget to the inkers and the colorists and the letters. Each of them is an artist in their own right." So he was talking about how he wanted to foster talent at each step of creating a comic. Cebulski joined Marvel full-time in 2002 as an associate editor. In 2011, he became vice president of international brand management for the company. So in his new role, he will be responsible for the editorial and creative side of Marvel's publishing division. His duties will include recruiting new talent and helping shape the ongoing sagas of
probably
the company's heroes.
Probably something Marvel needs right now.
Yep. He was also... No? Okay. Yeah. Oh, here it is. He was also the editor for Marvel's Runaways.
Oh. Wait, like old school Runaways?
Yeah, like the Brian K. Vaughan series. So, yeah, it's I enjoy the fact that he says, like, people remember the writer and the artist, but a lot of the other people get left out of the mix. Like, that was a big topic and debate last year with Matt Wilson.
Yeah, like, it's just like, look at my contributions. My inks. Now look at his colors. Yeah. Completely different.
And now that Twitter has increased their character limit, I can thank every single person on the comic now. Instead of just like, all right, here's two people. I'm so sorry. Thank you, colorist. Mm-hmm. I had to make a separate tweet for you. So.
That's pretty big news, though. How long has Axel Alonso been there for?
I have no idea. That role?
And is he like completely out of Marvel, or is he just stepping down as chief editor?
I don't know. I'm looking it up right now. But I hope this breathes a little new life into Marvel. And one of the big things, like, I saw this article on Reddit, and it was someone's like, I really wish the all-new, all-different period of Marvel actually lasted longer before they hit reset with Secret Empire, mm-hmm. Civil War II, and everything else. And I'm sitting there thinking about it. I'm like, yeah, that was like...
They really didn't
six
give,
or seven issues.
They really didn't give like any of those characters a chance to like actually grow like they need to.
The only characters that had any upward growth were Doctor Doom in his 12-issue series. Riri kind of got into it. She definitely progressed as a character. But like everyone else that was laying around, kind of like they were already memorable characters. Like, yeah. Dr. Doom as Iron Man was great. Kate Bishop took over full-time as Hawkeye.
I think Kate Bishop has been one of the most successful books out of all that. Like, I felt like it's very much her Hawkeye book, which you didn't... We got to see a little bit of that with Fraction when he did his own version of, like, the dual arcs where every issue would alternate between Kate's story and Clint's story. And that was really fun. I'm like, man, Kate is a really good character to just do a fun book with. And it seems like, yeah, Kelly Thompson is doing a really good job. I've been personally really enjoying that book. And I'm glad that one's at least continuing on.
Yeah. Alonzo's been with Marvel since 2000, and he was editor-in-chief in 2011.
Wow.
So I really hope it's, like I said, I hope there's more creative freedom. Like, everyone is still pissed off at, like, Straczynski, even though he didn't have control over this, and Joe Quesada, who's like, yeah, fuck this marriage between Peter Parker and Mary Jane. We need to make Peter younger and more likable to appeal to everyone else. And this was, like, back before they had a Miles Morales to appeal. Yeah, I know.
You could have just done, kept Peter the same and just have Miles serve that role.
But Miles needs his own name.
Yeah.
There's too many damn spider people.
Yeah, which is part of the most recent arc. It's like, you've proven you can be Spider-Man. Now be your own person.
I'm going to become Black Spider.
Now we're not going to see, probably.
Maybe.
Maybe they'll use this opportunity as Miles becoming his own person. So instead of it just being Spider-Man, it'll be the Miles title, which whatever he wants to go by. Kind of like how they bridged out with, while they still called it Iron Man, it was about Iron Heart instead.
Yeah,
Riri.
Still should have called it Iron Heart, but... Okay, so
Iron Man has the legacy number. Why go with Iron Heart?
Well, they are getting back to Tony with that.
So Riri is the main character as long as Bendis is around right now.
Which won't be much
longer. One thing I would be interested in.
December.
That is going to make me sad, though, to see him leave Riri.
Sorry, Zach.
I should have waited. I thought you were done. But
no worries.
Something I'd be interested in, like, we're talking about, like, how a lot of these characters just didn't have any time to thrive. How long did it take for Miss Marvel to actually pick up? Because I didn't start reading the book until, like...
Carol or Kamala?
Kamala.
Like, first issue.
Really? Okay, it was that... much of a hit.
The original thing was it was going to be a 6-issue miniseries. Yeah. If it continued, there was a 3-issue back door get out. And then just because of her popularity after those first 6 issues, she just got renewed continuously.
Because I was just wondering, it was like, did it take a little bit for Kamala to pick up steam and like people like, hey, this book is amazing, you need to read it. And then it kind of like organically became popular.
Yeah, it's like, she was one of those characters that was very much hearsay. Listen to me speak about this. Like, it was so cool that there were students at my school for costume day because we don't celebrate Halloween. Because Halloween could have religious connotations, apparently.
It's apparently a satanic holiday.
It's a pagan holiday. But there were, like, three girls dressed up as Kamala with their little hijabis. And I was like, that's so cool. You are neat. You are my favorite.
You should have taken pictures and sent them to G. Willow.
I should have.
She would have been so happy.
The platypus and Kamala. New dynamic. But
oh my god, Lockjaw
hasn't been around for a while. She could bring it. She could introduce a platypus.
But you know, it's the same thing. It's like the all new, all different period. I really wish lasted longer. And then now that they're throwing Legacy into the fold, it's like, all right, how are these characters going to fit in? Now we have fucking adult Jean Grey coming back. What does this mean for our teenage Jean Grey? What does this mean for Iceman, who could have actually been part of the all new, all different banner with Cinna Grace right now writing his character. But it's like, what does this mean? Because even right now they're teasing two events. One of them, it's like they hold the Infinity Stones, and it's Logan, Captain Marvel for some reason, and then Star-Lord each holding a Infinity Gem.
Put it down, Carol.
You mean
put
Captain
it fucking down.
Oh, God. Did I show you the picture?
No.
Oh, God. The eye gap on Captain Marvel. God.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Oh, no.
We're not shaming people for
it's like looks, that. It was like that Luke Cage cover. It's just like, oh, God, what happened?
But at the same time,
there's some hardcore eye spacing.
Like, there's a set image of Captain Marvel that everyone has in their head that bounces around. The eye gap is not.
This one is mine.
Yeah,
now.
The Chris Anka redesign.
Yeah.
Or the... You did the redesign before him. It was
McKelvey.
Yeah,
either that or I imagine with the long hair, just because that's everything I've ever seen Captain Marvel.
But even then, like, long hair. I've either pictured the short hair, kind of more military look, or with
bathing suit,
or with the mohawk. No, not bathing suit. We're done with that.
Bathing suit was my original Cap or Miss Marvel, because that's when Bendis was writing Avengers, which you never read his run.
No.
But
I mean, she didn't get the new costume until 2012.
Around there. It was like the Marvel Now series.
Yeah, it was when Kelly Sue took over.
rest in peace, Carol, that everyone liked. It's debatable now.
Yeah, it's not bad, but it's not great. It's just kind of eh. Oh no.
It's almost like an anime character, but they try to make her look a little too realistic.
Oh no. Who did this?
Who hurt you like this?
Who touched you?
My favorite comment from the Reddit thread. It's annoying that they're starting an event so soon, but if Dugan's in charge, I'm A-okay with this. That's not the comment. Someone made the comment that was like, you would not use this to promote an event. Why? But, I mean, it's really interesting to see, like, how are these three characters going to fit in? Like, Dugan's writing Guardians right now, and Star-Lord just founded an Infinity Stone, the purest form of the Infinity Gems. Marvel Legacy, Logan finally found one for whatever reason.
Can they come up with some new power other than goddamn
but
Infinity
Zach,
Stones?
Synergy, Marvel, Avengers, Age, not Age of Ultron, Age of Infinity Stones, fucking Infinity War 2018. We have to have synergy between all of our comics and our movies, even though comic shop creators go, yeah, we don't really get that many people that come in asking about it after a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, can you imagine if John had a comic shop next to a movie theater?
Oh my god. I mean, just he's kind of close to a movie
put
theater.
Put a poster up.
There's
like,
one like right down
hey,
the road.
Hey, after you see Thor, come talk to us.
But it's like, I don't know. It annoys me that Marvel's like, yeah, no more events because every story is an event. The Return of Jean Grey in the X-Men Red series, they hold the Infinity whenever that's going to fucking happen. And now that brings us to our next topic, actually, with Nick Spencer and Donnie Cates, I think. They will be co-writing Doctor Strange Damnation. Yeah, Nick Spencer, Donnie Cates, who wrote Doctor Strange for a while, and artist Rod Reiss are going to be working on the 2018 fallout to Secret Empire, where Doctor Strange tries to go to Las Vegas and resurrect the city. But then he summons Mephisto by accident. I'm not shitting on them at all. I'm not, like, I'm just saying, like, oh, they summoned Satan again.
Whoops. Oh, Satan.
I really hope Iron Fist. I really hope Iron Fist punches him so hard that Mary Jane and Peter get married again. That's my only hope.
It's like a Superman punch when Superman or Superboy Prime punches the universe.
Yep.
I got you.
Punched the universe so hard.
He brought Jason Todd back to life. Granted, in the whole thing, they're like, well, the reason he came back is because he's not actually supposed to be dead. It was a whole thing, but yeah.
I remember it was one of the three Donna Troy biographies. One of my favorite fan images is from Stephen Sedgwick, where it's like Donna sitting behind a counter and it's like my biography, I think.
Oh.
Because she has like three different origin stories and no one knows who she really is.
Was she formed from clay as well to fight Wonder Woman? What? We don't know.
Does she have Baraka swords like Wonder Woman? So this story, Damnation, unites Doctor Strange, Ghost Rider, Iron Fist, who are the other characters? I said it right before we came, Blade and Blade. Moon Knight together to fight for Las Vegas. And I'm kind of sitting there, I'm like, you know, City of Sin, Las Vegas, Mephisto, makes a lot of sense.
That's clever.
I don't remember why Secret Empire destroyed Las Vegas, though, Steve. As the only one who has read this event.
I have not read all of it.
As the only person who owns the event.
I think it was Madame Hydra using it as a scare tactic against people. Because she told Steve, you need to use displays of power. He said, nah, fam, I ain't about that life. She said, all right, I'll do it for you. Don't worry.
Don't worry, fam, I got you.
And then just blows up cities. Be like, look, we're strong.
Ooh, look at us.
Yeah, so Donny Cates said that when Nick and I began talking about the story, we both gravitated towards those really fun corner events like Annihilation, a story that focuses on one specific corner of the Marvel Universe, but still has vast consequences and very high stakes. In that way, Nick and Rod and I have set out to make this a kind of magic Annihilation. Wait, that's a dope title. Can we use that? I'm like, oh, Donny Cates. Also, No one has been able to answer me. Why is Loki the Sorcerer Supreme right now?
I don't know.
Fans, I've been asking listeners, people. Can you please answer this
you can
for me?
Do, and you can do that by writing into z2podcast.com/comment, and we'll read it on air.
I thought it was contact.
I changed it to comment today.
JK, that makes a little more comments. Sense.
See, that's maybe why Jim couldn't do it, because he couldn't find the correct thing, because you told him the wrong...
Well, I did this like 20 minutes ago before we started recording, and we told him to do this earlier today.
We just wanted to see if it worked.
Yeah. I know people have done it before. I've had people write in.
That's cool. So, last time we saw Mephisto was in Infamous Iron Man, where he was fighting Doctor Doom and made like a mirage version of his mother that began to believe that she was his actual mother. But it was just Mephisto wanting revenge against Doom. So, Nick Spencer goes on to say, one of the fun things about this story to me is Mephisto's motivation. For starters, he believes he's the aggrieved party here. One day, through no doing of his own, Vegas fell to his realm, and he loved it. It was a natural fit. He and his minions were having a grand time with it. Then comes along Stephen Strange and takes it away from him. In Mephisto's mind, that's not fair. If Doctor Strange wants to mess with Mephisto's realm, Mephisto is more than happy to return the favor in Doctor Strange's realm. So it's really interesting. I mean, there's a lot of things going on. Like I said, Blade is coming back, and then we get to see Moon Knight kind of take more of a presence in the mystical realm, even though when Jeff Lemire wrote the title, he never fully explained whether or not Moon Knight was insane, which I think is kind of the appeal to his character.
So, not even Marvel really knows how Loki and Sorcerer Supreme are, yet they haven't revealed it yet. All that's been revealed is Loki won a tournament and got the Eye of Agamotto in the Sanctum Sanctorum. That's all we know so far.
Is it a tournament of duel monsters? Yes. Were they on a blimp that had a freaking sky bridge?
They played a children's card game for the Eye of Agamotto.
Well, the way... I think it was in the actual Doctor Strange book this week. Like, I saw this really cool interaction between him and the Mighty Thor, Goddess of Thunder. Right, is she still Mighty Thor, technically?
I think so.
I know she's just
Thor. I don't know anymore. I haven't been reading it.
Okay. Well, he was like, I'm doing this in honor of Stephen Strange. Like, he used his magical thread to repair the red cape that everyone loves. And it's like, I want to defend this realm for him. And I'm like, so we saw the success of Doom Iron Man. Now we want to see what other heroes we can take the spin on. And granted, like, Loki's always that morally ambiguous character.
That's my problem, is like he claims he's good. He's always good now, but he never is. He always has his own agenda that he's
except
trying
for Agent
to work.
Of Asgard. He did great. He was the Itachi of the Marvel Universe.
Still had his own agenda.
But... And then that leads me to, like, I think there's a new Spider event coming up here soon where it's Venom Inc. So Peter Parker and Eddie Brock have to team up to defeat Toxin, who is the previous host of Venom before he went back to Eddie Brock. Why?
I don't know anymore. I'm lost.
But Marvel on the bright side, Flash comes back as the anti-Venom agent. Like, I don't even know what his name is. He's just white, and he wears the Agent Venom costume again. Again, all new, all different showed me that Flash was a really cool Venom.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, nah,
screw this.
Nah, fam. We're not even going to reveal to you how Flash lost the symbiote. I'm like, why?
I don't know. Like, I want to give Marvel a chance, but... There's just nothing compelling about their stories for me, for the most part.
When every story is an event, what are the stakes?
Like, I don't like Spider-Man enough to go read the main title. The only thing I care about it in right now is Bobby and Peter, which you told me it's only like 5% of the book.
Like 10.
It wouldn't be enough for me to buy it. I don't care enough about Iron Man. I'm not a huge... I like Captain America in the movies, but I don't... really care for him too much in the comics.
Yeah, I mean...
It's like, I don't know, I like those kind of goofy characters that aren't the main Marvel stays at this point.
I mean, I just follow them. I've gotten to the point where I follow talent mostly. Like, the only characters I really care about are being written by creators I really care about.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sitting here looking at, like, pictures of Runaways. I'm like, is it good yet? And Steve's like, you would probably want to trade weight. And I'm like, okay. Mm. That makes sense to me.
Mostly because you don't have the emotional attachment.
Nope. I just know pretty colors.
This is very pretty. Chris Anka and Matt Wilson are killing it on art.
Yeah.
Anka. I'm never going to be able to say his name right.
So to move forward, speaking of creators, Liam Sharp announced this week that he's going to be writing Brave and the Bold, Batman and Wonder Woman.
But Zach, they can't be friends.
But as soon as they stamped the Brave and the Bold, everyone's like, oh, you know what? That actually makes sense. Yeah. Because Brave and the Bold in the past has been the team up title.
Mm-hmm. But Zach, Batman's marrying Catwoman.
What does this mean?
How can he go on adventures?
How are they
with
platonic?
Another female?
I also did appreciate they kind of teased, like... Nah, never mind. I'll talk about that later.
But, is that with Justice League?
Yeah.
I think I know exactly what you're talking about.
Alpha makes throwaway
comments. I'm glad they
about it.
Didn't, though.
Yeah. But, like, so Batman and Wonder Woman are going on this adventure, and they're going to fight against, like, Celtic mythology or Irish, one of the two.
That actually sounds pretty dope.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, that's really cool. And the fact that Liam Sharp is both writing it and drawing it was like, man, he's making sure this is one of a kind.
Book.
Yeah.
I'm excited. It's only going to be a 6-issue, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what I've been appreciating about DC. It's like, here's exactly what it is. It's a 6-issue miniseries or 12-issue miniseries, depending on the book. If people like it, hey, we might do another one. If the creator has another idea.
Like, again, we'll see. It's our thing. Batman White Knight sells out issue 1 immediately. They add one more issue to the story. Okay, we got this. Marvel adds one issue to the Secret Empire.
Fuck everything.
Fuck you. We're so choosy.
I know.
We're very biased.
I've been trying to figure out, it's like, why does the things Marvel do upset me when DC does almost the same thing, but it doesn't upset me at all? Maybe it's because I actually care. Like, I'm fine when it's like, okay, cool, another issue of White Knight. I like the book so far. I'd be curious to see what he adds.
Because White Knight isn't delaying anything.
Yeah.
Secret Empire is like,
yet.
We're going to add one more issue. Delay everything or make the books already picked up fucking confusing unless you wait for the
next
issue.
But then they add one issue to Metal for Wild Hunt, and then it's like, sorry, issue 6 delayed 4 weeks. It's like, yeah, but we got a new issue in the middle.
We got Grant Morrison back.
We're honeypotting him to write a full series again. Like I said, it's weird we're at this point where DC is becoming such a huge powerhouse when in the past everyone's like, oh, joke.
It's so weird. Like, I've talked to some people, and they're like, so what's going on in Rebirth? I'm like, oh, you have no freaking idea.
Oh,
like,
honey.
Oh, this honey. Is like, is this character back? Yeah, this character's back. This character's back. They remember the old universe. Like,
remember Plastic Man?
Yeah.
He's an egg. That's all you need to know.
Yep.
Remember Detective Chimp?
He's still alive.
Yeah.
For now.
As far as we know.
Do you remember Nightmaster? He's dead. It's like, no, he escaped. Look behind them. It's his head impaled on a stick. But hey, the House of Mysteries is back.
Also on Tuesday, I'm going to figure out who's going to get Hulu.
Oh.
Runaway starts.
Oh, shit.
I think I know someone.
Okay,
you got the hook.
I also need. I eventually probably do or need to get Hulu just because It's Always Sunny is moving over.
Yeah, that's
it?
True.
Or
the old
being
episodes.
No, it's all being taken off.
Like
off Netflix.
FX isn't doing new episodes anymore. Or?
Oh, they just haven't come back with the new season.
Yet. Oh, there's no new season.
Oh yet. No, you made it sound like it was.
Oh,
all
it's
going
gone.
To Hulu.
It's donezo.
Like the production.
Oh, no.
One of their most popular shows is done. No. It's
well,
not done yet.
You know, we don't know. Like, you guys didn't watch the latest season.
Did they, like, wrap up a lot of things?
There's a character that might not come back.
Mm. Oh, yeah, you told me about that.
And they destroyed his car with an RPG, too, which was really cool. And Mac finally realized he was gay. That was a really big turning point for the series as a whole. Again, here, like, a couple
hero
weeks ago was
crime.
Hero or Hate Crime. Like, the episode for it, I'm like, it's a good
or,
episode.
What is it? I cannot think of the word. Rerun. That is it. They reran it.
Yeah. Bass Blaster 5000. The dildo bike with a little fist on it. It's like, yeah, because if you lean down, it's going to punch you in the ass.
Make you to go faster.
No, Mac. No. Anyways. So Batman Who Laughs finally came out this week.
Oh, boy.
I feel personally attacked by this series that
it's emotionally compromised.
I watched Batman the Brave and the Bold just for some campy feels afterwards. I'm like, yeah, Aquaman, you do those things, please.
Talk to those fish.
So Steve finally read it, and you and I talked about it, but Steve, what were your thoughts?
It's not okay. It's not okay.
What do you mean?
It's not okay.
Elaborate.
Shit's not okay.
It's the darkest part of the dark universe.
It's the darkest timeline.
It is the darkest of dark timelines.
I really appreciate, though, that it's like Earth negative 22, and it opens up with the whole, buy the books, Batman, buy the books. I'm like, oh, it's in reference to the Killing Joke, which everyone was like, yeah, it's going to be this series. Because if like Red Death was kind of like a tease for the Dark Knight universe, the Miller verse, what would be the ultimate turning point? And it's like, yeah, it's this moment right here.
Even the opening is just horrifying, where Joker's explaining how he killed Gordon.
Gordon died.
Oh God!
Dissolved
as his face was melting, you could hear him crying out to his daughter,
Baba, Baba.
It just fucked me up, and it's like, look, now we are two parts of the same whole. And he kind of, and what really just drove me for a loop too is that he's wearing the 90s animated series costume.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, is, they know, like, they're targeting specific people.
Well, the whole time I'm like, I hear Mark Hamill's voice and I don't feel okay.
Yeah.
Like, the whole time the Joker's talking, even when it goes to Joker Batman, in my mind, I hear like a combination of Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill. Like, I'm not okay right now.
And one of the big things too for me was that, like, Bruce is talking to everyone. It's like, this is what happened to me. I think I can control it. I think I can find a cure. He's telling this to Superman. And then he's in the Batcave training with everyone. And it's like, oh, why did Damian get out of this? I'm like, oh God, we've seen what happened to Damian.
Oh no.
And then it's like that moment where he just smiles and has his back turned towards them. I'm like, it was the moment I didn't want in the series. And I'm like, oh God.
Like that moment of like, you would notice something was wrong. I'm like, oh no.
Jason tried to fight it.
He tried.
He got one bullet off.
Right into Barbara's head.
Oh, I didn't even notice that. Yeah, part.
If you notice, like, his gun, when he's trying to shoot it, it goes right into Barbara as she's getting shot from Bruce.
There was a lot of people who were, like, legitimately surprised at how dark the issue was.
I mean, we had to have expected this. Like, he is the pinnacle. He is the darkest of the dark between all of them.
And I'm sitting here thinking about it, and it's like, Titan's like, this is the darkest thing I've ever written. And I'm like, okay, so Titan and Ryan's detective, which is like full of hope. He writes like Backdoor or Backstagers, which is a really happy comic. It can't be that bad. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
And
we learn where he gets all of his Robins from.
It's all those, the orphans.
It's like, traumatized children. Fuck. And Damien's the only one who's left alive so he can be corrupted.
Yeah, it's just the thing. It was like, when they're like, yeah, let's put him in the Phantom Zone. And Bruce is like, that won't work. And I'm like, and it's literally the panel where he's just looking down and he smiles.
Yeah, you see the smile.
And it's just like, oh, shit. But they didn't show him killing Alfred. I mean,
no. You can only infer, though.
I'm going to say, what if Alfred is the man in the bandages? But
that's possible.
That I think it's Hawkman.
Yeah. It has to be someone important.
Yeah.
Well, the way he refers to him as like, you've been through this before, you've seen the rise and fall. And I'm like, okay, it has to be like an immortal person like Hawkman. Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's Shazam.
If only. Some people are like, Barbados has to be like a Batman that mixed with Shazam or like with the Spectre, right? I'm like, or he's just a dark god.
Could be.
Not everyone has to be Batman.
But it makes so much sense. Like the end of Red Death when he's reading the Killing Joke monologue and it's like, yeah, this fucked me up. I really wanted to know why he put on the Crown of Thorns, though.
Like, yeah, that was the one thing. It was like, because I thought, like, oh, maybe, like, Superman, like, blasts his face before he kills him or something, so he wears that to hide it, but it's unclear of, like, all right, why did the fuck does he wear this?
They'll probably reveal that later,
like what's under his mask.
Something will blast off the mask, and it'll be maybe all decrepit, or
who knows.
Just something.
Oh, God, the Superman seems so horrid.
Yeah.
It's like, here's some black kryptonite for you and your son.
And just as they're panning through the watchtower and everyone's gruesome death, Flash strangled with Plastic Man, who's stretched all across the watchtower. Martian Manhunter is eviscerated. His top half is burned. His bottom half is ripped away.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember who all was floating outside. There are, like, two bodies out in space beyond the glass.
Right.
It's not okay.
It's like, Jesus Christ, this is not happy fun time.
I can't remember if I showed you the thing, but it was like somebody put, like, all the different Dark Knights as different types of metal. This is just pure black metal.
Jason Todd's bullet is above Barbara's head.
Oh, okay. It looks like it was...
Thank God.
Directly just pins her in the face.
But it's like...
At least it would have been quick for...
Yeah, it's like the thing, like, the only way Bruce would be able to defeat his four partners is by training them to the point of exhaustion.
And then surprise attack.
And I'm like, because we all know, Dick Grayson could probably take Batman.
Mm-hmm.
If we go,
I mean, all five of them against him, like...
Four.
I mean, the only... Again, if he had prep time, which, of course, he probably did in this situation.
Everything is prep time.
Well, yeah, I mean, when the guy has no powers, that's what he has to rely on.
Yeah. Oh, God, it's just such a cool issue, though. And it's like, I think we're on track to having a actual metal issue next week.
I think so. I think four.
Either that or Doomsday Clock comes out next week.
Doomsday Clock comes out on
Wednesday.
So, we get that, and it's just like, damn, son, this fucked me up royally. Man. Hashtag FamY.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a really cool issue. I really enjoyed just the way it is. Like, I think this one was, like, the strongest of all of the Dark Knights.
I'm going through all of them. Yeah, I mean, I feel like this is, like, each one was progressively darker for different reasons. But this one's, like, this is, like, core, like, what, like, the darkest version that Batman could possibly be.
The mustache timeline.
No, not the Negaverse.
The buff Picard timeline. yeah, like I said, it's incredible just to see how this event has been spinning out. Like, it's really cool to see what happens when creators just have control.
Yeah.
Like, I we were talking about the editors and everything else earlier, but it's really cool to see Snyder.
I'm sure the editors have something to say. Well, why don't we do that? But I mean, like you said, this issue should have not been published. How did this get through?
It's so dark. It's so terrifying.
Like, this should at least have, like, an M rating on it or so, however comics rate comics.
It used to be, like, Injustice was the darkest timeline. And then this gets thrown at you. And I'm like,
I do still say it is the darkest of the multiverse timelines. The dark multiverse.
It's a whole new level of
shit. Can't hold a candle to it.
What's even more horrifying is their whole goal now is to just literally unleash all of the horrors in the dark universe.
Dude, it's like Black Canary with a baseball bat?
Fucking Spider Abdomen Flash?
Or Werewolf Wonder Woman?
Or Power Girl?
Or Green Lantern with his ring in his head?
That was Parallax.
Was that Parallax?
I think so. Parallax was in one of those. But I'm just sitting there like...
He had the necklace of Green Lantern rings and then a Green Lantern ring right in the middle of his... brain could cavity. Still very
well but be Black Canary with a baseball bat with nails in it.
I just sit down. I was like, wow, look at all these nightmares. Is that Black Canary?
I think this is the first time we've seen like Power Girl in Rebirth.
It's been a while.
She's not even changed. She's just the nightmare. I am Power Girl. Oh, God.
Oh, God. What? Why is there a boob window?
Be gone, demon. That's where her S should have gone.
So Earth 22 proper is the Kingdom Come universe.
Oh, God.
Which one?
Earth 22. So negative 22 is the Batman Who Laughs.
Thy Kingdom Come.
Yeah. No, Thy Kingdom Come is the follow-up to Kingdom Come.
Oh, that's true.
Not as good. don't read it.
Great
it's like,
art.
It's like Dark Knight Strikes Again. Just don't read it. Save your
Dark Knight. What's again? The Dark Knight's great. Master Race. It's okay.
It's all right.
Strikes Again. Never heard of it. Don't read it.
Doesn't exist.
Dick Grayson as the forlorn Joker. Oh God.
So let's see. Red Tornado was just completely destroyed. All you see is his head. Flash strangled with Plastic Man. Wonder Woman strangled with her own rope. John Jones just torn to pieces. Hawkman and can't tell who that is floating in space.
Probably Green Lantern.
Next to John Jones's head.
Either like Enhanced. Orion or Atom Smasher. Nope. I turned it. I do like his green Batman outfit though. That was pretty cool looking. But, like, man.
I could see, though, after Superman ripped Lois and John apart, him blasting Batman in the face. Just kind of off screen.
It's possible.
But he left it out of the story as, like, a I'm so great.
Yeah, it's very possible. It's like, no one can touch me.
Because all this is my from triumph. His point of view.
Yeah, that is true. It's him telling the story.
So, sorry. Random silence. We'll edit that out later.
No, it won't. It wasn't that weird.
Yeah. All right. So, at this point in time, we're going to stop talking about Batman Who Laughs and talking about Justice League 2017, directed by Zack Snyder with pickup shots by Joss Whedon. Now written by someone else and Joss Whedon.
Or I can't Zack remember Snyder. Person. Or Zack Snyder and someone else. I can't remember.
With jokes by Joss Whedon.
Yeah.
But, anyways, we're going to talk about it. And here in a second, you should go see it. It is a very entertaining film. Don't trust the critic scores. And don't
I don't know. I want part of me wants to read the critic scores to see why they're rating it so low. But
so a lot of the ratings
because I thought it would,
came from because Zach and I talked about this when we were walking to the car afterwards. Is a lot of people didn't like Cyborg.
I thought Cyborg was fine.
Yeah, they thought he fell very flat. That he was a very uninteresting character.
I mean, that's kind of how Cyborg is for the most part.
At least Steppenwolf, early on. Just his look. Like, I could agree Steppenwolf was a little bit borderline, like, borderline Uncanny Valley, but everyone, like the critics, just destroyed his look. A lot of people thought it was just a boring movie.
Well, there's a lot of people that have been so conditioned to the Marvel films that anything different that does not fit in this little bubble they aren't into. Mm-hmm. Like, even Apocalypse... Decent movie, but, you know, fighting a giant CG character really doesn't turn people on fighting an exact mirror version of themselves.
Apocalypse was a very slow movie, too. I mean, that's how the X-Men movies, for the most part, are very... They're more social commentary more than anything.
They're very methodical.
Yeah. They're not supposed to be action movies.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, just... Okay, here's my... The way are we in I
spoilers
would,
now?
No, not yet. The way I viewed... this movie after watching it was this felt like an episode from Justice League Unlimited, like very campy at times, very cheesy and corny, but still really fun. What?
Sorry.
Oh, I thought you were giving me a look for what I said.
No, I cracked my tooth.
Ow.
No, I didn't.
It's a kernel.
It was a kernel.
Don't eat popcorn.
Popcorn's delicious.
Don't eat the kernels right now. Stop.
Here's some ASMR for people.
No.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Like, it felt like an episode of the Justice League cartoon. Like, the jokes were there and everything else.
It's like, yeah, the villain at the end doesn't make a huge difference. It was more set up for more than anything. Like, we forget that this is technically part one of this story.
This was originally supposed to be a part one of two.
Yeah.
And they only did that just for, like, advertisements, actually.
I think so.
When they announced all the films. But... the best comment I saw about this film is the last 30 minutes of the film should have been the start of the DCEU as a whole proper. Mm-hmm.
That's what, like we finally got to a point where I think we should have been earlier. Like, I thought this was way better than Batman v Superman. Like, it made way more sense. It was very coherent and it was fun.
And there were colors in this movie.
Yeah.
I saw blue.
There was hope.
And red.
Like, they had fun.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to go into spoiler talk in 5, 4, 3, 2, One.
Now.
Holy shit, Green Lantern.
Yeah, I didn't expect to see a Green Lantern that early.
Yeah, there's like, and people from other worlds are like, what? I wonder who's going to, oh my god, he made his construct.
Oh my god, there's a stone. Oh, there goes the ring. Okay.
Yep, and he's gone.
He's like, yeah, Green Lantern, he's making a construct. Do you think
that ring went to Aubyn Sewer?
Too early.
Oh,
if
yeah,
it's like
Aubyn Sewer.
Well, because that was 1,000 years?
I think so.
Billion.
No, it wasn't maybe. That far.
Yeah. It was like the first age of man.
5,000 maybe? 5,000 years?
Yeah.
So yeah, it would be too early for Aubyn Sewer.
But... I was sitting there, I'm like, holy shit, this is like Lord of the Rings level fighting.
Like, yeah. And yes, the Amazons and the Atlanteans and all the tribes of men and Sauron. Like, wait, nope, wrong.
I was wait. Sauron would have fit. They're owned by WB. I was sitting there, it's like, in the tribes of men, and I was just waiting, and I'm like, and then as soon as they said beings from other worlds, I'm like, holy shit, they're going to do it. They're going to do it. Green Lantern, yes!
And the elves. And the dwarves.
Technically tribes of men, you know?
Yeah.
And Sauron with the one ring of power. Also, you know, the fact that Steve and I were sitting there was like, was that Shazam or is that Zeus?
And the credits go by like, yep, Zeus.
Damn it.
Well, I was so excited when I saw Artemis. I was like, oh, it's the Bow of Ra. It's Artemis.
You're the only one.
I know. I'm like the only one who gives a shit about that character. And even in the credits, I'm like, oh, it was Artemis!
I didn't put the Bow of Ra to...
Well, when they said the help from the gods, and she's... It's like charged right, up with like, but... the power of the sun. That's what the Bow of Ra does.
Right.
Are you thinking God Artemis, or are you thinking character Artemis?
I'm thinking character Artemis, but it's based on God Artemis.
Yeah.
I think
that's the trip. Because she was next to Zeus in the credits.
Right. Yeah. I just don't think it was the Bow of Ra.
I'm pretty sure it was. There's only one other bow.
If they were going Greek gods, I don't think the Greek gods would have an Egyptian weapon in the battle.
I mean,
yeah,
I guess that's true, but.
But, I mean, just think about, because they just said there were gods involved. So maybe not only just the Greek gods.
Yeah,
but
it could have been that.
Egyptian gods.
It's possible.
Again,
Horus is just sitting off to the side. Hey, we're here too.
Sup?
Solomon is over there. Look at my wall. But it was, like I said, that was a really cool moment just to see this giant, huge, climactic scene. I'm like, damn, Lord of the Rings.
I feel like a lot of people's problems with DC movies is you kind of need to know some backup lore. Like, if you don't know who the fuck, like we said, like Zeus and Artemis and like all those other characters that they just kind of briefly show, it's like, you're not going to care. Like, what? Why is there a lightning guy there?
Because he's lightning guy.
Well, yeah. A lot of people probably don't know.
Look, that's one of his daddy.
Like the Amazons are based around like Greek lore, like that, and they worship the gods. And granted, there's like been several interpretations of where the Amazons came from.
Yeah, I like the way that you put it. Like, there's background knowledge necessary. Where like,
well, you appreciate it more when they make those callouts.
Yeah, it's like the nerds strive to have the DC movies. Like, all the Marvel movies are able to stand alone and tell their own unique little story with some previous little teasing. Like
all you really need to know for going into
Thor. If you watch the other movies, like, oh, hey.
You know who Thor is, you know who Hulk is, you know who Loki is.
More like, yeah. And
everything else will be filled in for
you. It's like in Thor, if you hadn't seen Age of Ultron, you wouldn't have gotten the whole running gag of it. Yeah, sun's coming down, big guy. Or sun's, yeah, God, something.
That scene was so fucking good.
Stop telling me that! Yeah, I do appreciate, like, a lot of people are like, that's not how mother boxes work. I'm like, well, they need to raise the stakes other than the fact that, like, you know, they could have eliminated mother boxes almost and just said it's, like, the first invasion of Apocalypse and they need fire to fuel Apocalypse itself.
Give me fire.
And I'm like, okay, that would have worked. But I didn't mind the mother box thing. Like, it didn't really bother me at all.
No, it didn't bother me either. I was a little upset that we didn't get more boom in the boom tube. It was just kind of a whom.
They're more like light tubes, actually.
Yeah. I think what bothered me most about Steppenwolf is he only references Darkseid once.
For Darkseid.
I'm just like, okay, if that was your goal, then why is
it
that
was
all
such a flat line, too?
Yeah, it was like, it's like, why is it not a big, like, more...
For Darkseid. I was like, ah, neat mention.
Like, why is it not a bigger, like, deal? It's like, yeah, we know Darkseid's... exists, and that's why he's trying to take over this world to make it ready for Darkseid to come and take over. But
think if they would have done something, I'm not trying to compare it to Marvel movies, but the way like Marvel was like, and Thanos in his chair, so like show Apocalypse and like the fires spurting out, It's or like the Young Justice tease.
I think it would have been cool. A cool end credit scene is like Steppenwolf. You see him go through the boom tube with all the parademons attacking him. He makes it back to Apocalypse and he just lands in front of Darkseid. It's like, I'm sorry. And Darkseid just like, he's like, no, I'll do it myself. Yeah, pretty much like a do it myself thing.
Pathetic. And then he fires the Omega Beam. You see the beam bend at angles and it's like.
See, that would have been fucking badass. I would have loved to see that. But it's like, okay, they're saving Darkseid for later, but we know he's coming eventually.
The next movie actually stars Granny Goodness, just so you know.
They're just going to go through Scott all Free- of the
Oh my god, what if Scott and- Free and Big Barda showed up?
Again, like, the last 30 minutes should be what Justice League was. Like,
yes.
Superman's like, I'm a big fan of hope. And I'm like, that's such a Clark Kent line.
I believe in hope. I'm also a fan of justice. Boom! Best one-liner.
And it's like, yeah, jokes did fall a little flat, but like, that was Clark Kent up there. Yeah. That was like...
That was the moment
just like he became Superman.
That pure symbol of hope, when like in the face of danger and death, he's like, "Yeah,
it's I'm like, cool. yeah, it's like, yeah, well, I like living."
Yeah, like I understand. I guess Patty Jenkins' Wonder Woman was so bent on proving DC. Like, Wonder Woman is still by far the best of the DCEU.
Mm-hmm.
And showing the turn for this movie with Justice League, it's like, okay, people like some of the lighter stuff. Give Patty Jenkins the next movie. Yeah. Oh my God,
let her direct Justice League? Man, that'd be killer. All right. Fuck it, let Geoff Johns do it.
Yeah, like, he was just a producer on this. Like, he and the other guy who originally wrote, like, Young Avengers did such a great job writing out this screenplay. Like, it was... But that would take away from John's writing comics again. But like, if they spent time just developing a basic script for each film, it would be really great. Like, even just this quick little Aquaman scenes, like the Zack Snyder, he's rescuing the guy in the ship. Mm-hmm. But all the stuff from Atlantis was like a team up with Snyder, Johns Whedon, and James Wan, because Aquaman was filming at the same time.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, this gives me hope for the Aquaman film.
Man, it was so cool seeing Mara use her water kinesis.
Her water style.
I'm just like, oh my god, it's Mara! She's here! She exists!
And people are like... I legitimately heard someone's like, hey, she's so hot. And I'm like, yeah, you're right.
Just wait.
Mara's gonna slay all of you.
Art Germ doing his variant covers. I have to pick those up.
I was very careful. When we got to the Atlantis scenes, I'm like... All right, we're almost done here. Are we going to hear how Mara sounds? Is she going to say anything?
Is she going to say Zeebel?
Yeah, are we finally going to hear how the fuck that word is pronounced?
It makes me curious whether or not they can talk underwater.
Well, that's where she goes out of the water. Then.
Right.
I wonder if they just use telekinesis to communicate with each other.
They talk to the waves, not
well,
to
yeah,
fish.
I mean, even Aquaman mentions that the water does the talking.
The water does the talking.
Yeah.
Are we going to see the Aquaman telekinetic waves?
I guess
the three rings going through the water.
As a nerd, there was just so many like beats in that movie that worked so well. Like Joss Whedon, I guess part of the reshoots was the Batman sitting on the balcony.
Now that you've told me like which Joss Whedon scenes were like his,
it makes
like,
sense.
Yeah, I'm just like, oh, I hate those are my least favorite parts. The Russian family thing was way overdone. Like okay, I didn't need to keep going back to them.
The Russian family by itself. Was fine,
but the fact that
when
they kept
suddenly
going back
50
to it,
people start running out when it's like we need to go, and then just a wave of people like you're telling me everyone in this little village had the exact same fucking thought as this little family of like let's wait the parademons out. Oh, they're leaving. Let's run.
But let's keep in mind a small isolated town in the middle of nowhere was being attacked.
Okay, I will give them props. They made that work. I know it was. Like the whole, let's keep collateral damage out of this. But the way they explained it worked.
Yeah.
Is they were looking for a spot that was off the grid, that didn't have satellites constantly over it, that they could mm-hmm. just keep under the radar. It made sense. Instead of just like, well, we need to take away collateral damage. Ooh, look, Sokovia, a small little town.
Okay, so we still haven't gotten a proper Barry Allen. That was so
that was
much
Wally.
That was Wally and Bart more than anything to me.
Actually, that's even better. That was
it
definitely
felt like
Bart
more
than
Bart
Wally.
Allen than anything to me.
I'm okay with that. Barry I'm Allen sorry, by himself.
I'm sorry,
cannot
Eric.
Hold it.
I'm sorry, Ryan. Barry Allen's boring. All of the other characters are more interesting.
Are current Barry Allen? Yes, he works.
Mike, every time, wait, which Barry Allen are you referring to? Comics Barry? Okay, yeah. Comics Barry is what I interpret as Barry. Kind of the noble guy, like, just trying to figure things out.
But if you have the team of, you know, you got Batman, who's just darkness, no parents. Mm-hmm. You have Diana, who's still a little bit darkness on the inside.
Part of her story in this movie is her realizing she can become that symbol.
Right, but she's still kind of recluse in her own ways.
Yeah, she doesn't want the spotlight.
You got Cyborg, who is all gloom and doom, because like, man, I'm a computer now. I'm a computer. And then Surfer Bro Aquaman, who cuts the tension occasionally, but he's still kind of gruff, like, meh. Yeah.
Brother.
You want that comedic relief, and you're not going to get it with it's comic true. Book Barry.
But yeah, I mean, okay, I get that, but why, let's just say, fuck it, let's just have Wally West and say, oh yeah, there's two Flashes running around, why the fuck not?
No, people are going to pitchfork.
God damn it. I thought that would have been better, because the freaking Justice League show, it's like, Wally works so well in that, that's because why it reminded me so much.
Because that's
it.
The thing, Wally was the Flash when Justice League was around.
And that,
Barry was dead during that time.
Yeah, that's right.
And before that episode where they actually revealed all their identities,
mm-hmm.
I assume that that Flash was Barry Allen.
Oh, really?
And when there's something like Wally West, I'm like, huh. Interesting.
Hey, is that your foot?
It's my foot.
Good Lord.
But I see why they took the mannerisms of like cartoon Wally and put that into Barry. Is because if you're going to start up the Justice League, you want to use it with the names nerds know and love. And that's Barry Allen. But you don't want to have just straight up Justice League forming Barry Allen, because that dude's a boring nerd
who can't get a date.
What they did,
best man alive.
What they did with this Barry, I love and appreciate. Like,
I thought he was a little goofy at times, but when they go into his little
the worst joke ever.
Yeah,
it's like, God, I'm pumped. I'm going east. It's like, I always wanted to see the Pacific. Yeah, that way.
Right. Yeah,
and then the Batcave scene. That was like the greatest moment of him just running around, like, and then sitting behind the gun, just looking like shocked. Like,
that's that's actually legitimately a Wally West scene.
I know, that's why I'm like, this feels way more like Wally West than anything.
Yeah, like, again, Barry Allen
also
on his own is
Barry also confirmed Flash listens to K-pop. He had freaking K-pop video in the background when
he also had Rick and Morty.
Yeah, I'm just like, oh, he's such a dork.
Also, he's a fucking ninja. When they were when the fight with Superman was going down, he was doing his run.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of like getting in like the running pose, he did straight up like ninjutsu, like, oh, ninja.
I hope this is how you run.
I love how they show like Superman is literally a god. He's just like, see, he just makes eye contact.
Just that moment of like, you see the eyes move, and then he's just like, Bear's
what
like,
the fuck?
Shit.
Pet Cemetery. Like I said, the brevity of the film, like some of the humor hit, some of the humor missed. And you can tell, like, which one things are, like, weird.
Yeah, there's some really awkward jokes in there. Like, the freaking thirsty line. I'm just
I hated that one so much.
Why? No.
Or the woman's husband getting abducted, and it's like, it's a butt joke. Yeah, great. Yeah. Thanks, Whedon.
Nice.
But, like, I see why Barry was necessary to be that role. They could have made him
Understand his role. It's just...
They could have made him the normal version, and he would have still kind of worked. But to help with the other fans, the ones that are expecting cookie-cutter Marvel, that humor just, and light brevity...
It's just interesting to me that we keep going... I mean, we have to go back to Barry since he's one of the most iconic Flashes. But I feel like Wally West is like... We've grown up with Wally West's character more than Barry's. So when I see a Flash like that, I'm like, that's Wally. That isn't Barry.
That's true. Like I said, it's the whole concept that your favorite Justice League is the one that you always grew up with.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, Batman, Superman, Diana, Kyle Rayner, Wally West. Yeah. That's my Justice League. Never going to see them on screen together. But that descending the ramp, I'm like, all right, this is Justice League.
Yeah, okay. Like, the fact that we got to the point where it's like, yes, this is where the Justice League should be. Like, it sets up so many great things now There's like so many different things they can do with it.
One of my big complaints, though, is the couple seats I noticed it, Henry Cavill's fucking lip.
I was so... Oh, man. I wish
In that cell phone video.
Yeah.
That cell phone video.
I was just, like, noticing, like, oh, God, his upper lip.
Like, just fucking shave it, man. And if he's not willing to shave it, leave the scene out. Or have him from afar. Don't focus on his face when you know that there's supposed to be a caterpillar there.
Ran for our podcast. Those kids had such great production. They had a video camera. They were ADR mic'd up and everything. Like, shit, man. They have way better production value than we do.
Did you fight a hippo? Do you bleed? Yeah, I think I'm bleeding. That was a great line, though.
That was a Whedon line. Man. But it's like, it was entertaining.
Just the inclusion of, like, do you bleed? Like,
he remembers.
But I love the farm. Like, the way the trailer cut it.
Yeah, it was just like, oh, that's got to be like a flashback, right? No, that's like, the actual movie.
Yeah, like the trailer cuts it, it's like, oh, it was just a dream Lois was having. Oh, no, that's the opening of the film. And then that scene's like three, like, hour and a half later. I'm like, oh, shit. That's cool.
I'm kind of glad they didn't do full-on Return of Superman. Because let's be honest, Return of Superman's kind of dumb.
But Metropolis kid!
Well, not so much that, but like the way he comes back where it's just like, oh yeah, I was in a coma the whole time. It's like, he was straight up still dead until they revived him.
They did, well, dead.
He was buried with a Kryptonian rejuvenation device in the original comic, and the sun was absorbing the solar radiation from that. In this, he still goes into a Kryptonian rejuvenation chamber. I was worried because it's like, oh, the mother box accelerated your cells and made you part machine. I'm like, shit, are they going to do like Cyborg Superman, gosh, and then he's going to rip off the metal at one point, and then they're going to have them fight each other? Mm-hmm. Like, I enjoyed that scene where they're like, oh yeah, it's a bunch of heroes meeting together
They mentioned that... I show, like, especially at the end where it's like, oh, look, all the life's being created from the mother box. It's like, it brings destruction, but it also brings life. Which, it ties up that loose end of, like, all right, how did the fuck did the mother box bring him back to life? I mean, yeah, we've seen it bring Cyborg back to life.
Cyborg explained that, too.
True.
Of that it's in a constant state of destruction and rebirth.
And then the fact that he goes to the OG, or like not the OG, but the new G Cyborg costume.
Just gets the C on his chest. So I was like, where's the C? Where's the symbol?
Where's the booyah?
That booyah made me so happy. I don't think
you understand. I'm glad it was included, but it was kind of just, it fell a little flat for me.
Because he just like looks in the camera.
Yeah, it's like, booyah.
I was like, so bad.
It's like, I appreciate it. It was so cheesy, but I appreciate it.
It's not, it wasn't like the same when, in like the old school Teen Titans where they go into the future and he shoots
someone and then lowers his gun and I'm like
booyah.
But Ray Fisher did such a great job.
I liked him. If they do a
Cyborg movie, I'm really glad that they have him. Like, he's just a generally nice actor too. Like, mm-hmm. for San Diego Comic-Con when they're doing the press tour, he got off the bus to take a picture with this little kid dressed up as Cyborg. I'm like, you're so cool.
All right, and we have to talk about, we haven't even really mentioned it other than just the Atlantis scenes, but Surfer Bro Aquaman.
I like
it. I love Momoa. He looked like he felt like he understood that he was an outsider. My one issue is, if the Snyder Cut doesn't have a scene of how the fuck they just gave him the trident, because he's like, I need your help.
Well,
like,
he went into the armory.
Sure, but... How the hell did he just get away with taking that thing?
Because Mara is there. I guess technically she's still like a princess of Zeebel. Like, they took out the William Dafoe scene too.
She mentioned that she was adopted by
Alana, but it's like he leaves with armor and a weapon, and we still see the King of Atlantis with a trident, whereas he has like a warrior trident, five spike thing, a quindent,
a pitchfork.
Yeah. Pitchforks have four. God. Have any ever seen the painting of American Gothic? Yeah. Jeez.
Did you just assume that all pitchforks only have four prongs?
Yes.
Also, did you appreciate the Gail Simone joke where he's sitting on the lasso of truth?
Yeah. That was a Whedon thing, too.
Well, apparently, like I said, somebody pointed it out to Gail Simone of like, I love that they took the, they stole this joke from Gail Simone, of all people.
I'm not like bashing on Whedon or anything, but like
it just, some of the humor just felt forced.
Yeah, and again, it's no offense to Joss Whedon or anything. Like, I mean, Age of Ultron was
he's
not
very
that
divisive
great
anyway.
Just because of how much Marvel wanted creative control. Like, hey, if Whedon had his way, we would already have Captain Marvel by now. We would probably have a Black Widow solo movie.
Potentially.
We're maybe 19 films in Marvel Cinematic Universe with no female-led film. And we're getting our first non-white.
DC was three movies in and had one.
Yeah. And it's like, even Suicide Squad, technically, you know,
yeah,
Harley Quinn running around.
Harley
she was
Quinn
a main character.
It's pretty much the Deadshot and Harley Quinn show there.
Those are the only people
people
care about.
And of course, how have we not mentioned Deathstroke at the end?
I can't pull myself away from looking at Joe Manganiello?
Manganiello.
Manganiello as other than the guy from Magic Mike.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought he looked good. He looked the part and he sounded great.
He has redeemed himself for me through Critical Role. He's been a guest on there for a couple episodes. And just watching him play that, I'm like, fuck yeah, give this man a sword.
What was even funnier was like, man, they really like almost, he looks almost exactly like Monty Bennett, but older.
I was waiting for like the Australian eyes, like, what are we doing, kid?
The Deathstroke armor does look a lot better than the CW show one.
Mm-hmm. You mean
like, the
better than the football pads?
Okay, real talk, when Luther was like laughing maniacally in his cell, I honestly thought it was like, oh god, are they gonna make him the Joker?
Or I was waiting for like Joker toxin or something.
Yeah,
I was waiting for Bryan Cranston to turn around as Lex Luthor, to be perfectly honest. Like, as divisive as Jesse Eisenberg
was. What's my name? Lex Luthor? You're goddamn right.
Technically, he is Alexander Luthor. We could have...
He could be Alexander Luthor Sr.
Yeah. Like I said, overall, it was a really fun film. Like, there were parts that did kind of fall
flat. I mean, it's not perfect. It has its flaws, which we've talked about.
I absolutely loved... I'm assuming it was a Whedon thing, too. The Superman Flash race?
I don't know.
Or was that a Snyder thing?
I don't know. There's nothing on... So, the reason why we keep referring that, ResetEra.com, someone who supposedly worked on the film made a list of Snyder versus Whedon scenes that we all took a look at before finishing. And it was interesting. Like, ooh, the reshot element from Juan of Aquaman emerging from the water to kick Steppenwolf before turning back to try and help slow down the flood. That was cool. But it's like, there's a lot of things in here that was like, eh. And I don't know. So that's the only reason we keep mentioning Snyder versus Whedon things.
Mm-hmm.
Flash doing the race with Superman was Whedon. Lex discussing forming their own league with Snyder. The end montage is Snyder. Even that weird run Flash does, like where he's running through the streets.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm like, I thought that was like a shout out to this TV show.
Oh.
Where he's like,
it does run a little awkward.
Ninja Star.
We didn't even talk about the score.
The score?
Danny Elfman.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking killing it.
I loved all the interweaving of just the old school themes.
I didn't think it was that memorable.
I mean, for the most part, yeah, but it was just cool. It was like, the old Superman theme.
Or like when
the old Batman theme.
Yeah, Batman's perching there, looking at the guy, and you're, like, ah! So good.
Yeah, like, it was enjoyable, but I would have
honestly
preferred Junkie XL to do
the
score.
Well, apparently he was a part of the score, but
then,
I didn't hear much influence from him.
Well, no, he got taken off and Danny Elfman replaced him.
Well, I think it still says Danny Elfman and Junkie XL on it.
Because for a few of them, because Junkie XL helped Hans Zimmer do like the Man of Steel theme and a few others. Like Junkie XL, for all intents and purposes, is Hans Zimmer's like student.
Okay.
Yeah. Like his successor.
Yeah. Honestly, I was like, I can't even remember what the actual theme was when all of the Justice League were standing
come
there
together.
No, like when all seven or six of them were standing on the building.
The seventh was Alfred. I was right. I made this joke 3 months ago, and I was right. I'm always right.
Yeah, I mean that was the best part. Was just
you'll
the
find a way to always
just
be
the
right.
Interweavings of all the old themes.
Well,
other than that, it was just like
credits,
I don't remember much.
When you're sitting through the credits, I'm like, the cutscene has to be Deathstroke, right? Like they showed the test footage when they were filming, and it's like, oh, sure enough.
There he is.
But why would he break out of the prison when Jesse Eisenberg's already on the ship? I don't get it.
Deathstroke didn't break out of prison, though.
But he's seen leaving the prison, assumingly. That's what I thought. Because they shoot, like, oh, where's Lex Luthor in the prison? And I'm like, oh, he's probably on the boat with little Deathstroke. But Deathstroke walks up by himself, and Jesse Eisenberg's just sitting there. It's like, well, oh, well, let's form our own little league.
Yeah. Because he already broke out of prison and then called Deathstroke.
No, no. But how? Did he get a helicopter that dropped a rope ladder, too? Like, was that like Kevin Spacey's Lex Luthor?
Maybe.
From Superman Returns?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Might have been.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff was just fun, though. Like,
I enjoyed it.
For sure, say it's enjoyed all fun.
It was a good, like, everything made sense. Like, yeah, there were parts that was like, eh, they fell flat, or they didn't.
It made me feel confident in the upcoming DC movies.
It at least gave me some hope of, like, all right, if this is getting, it's getting better.
Do you every know what the symbol stands for?
Hope. But it's an S. Yeah, because it's
because it like winds like a river.
Well, that's totally a Geoff Johns thing, too. But no, I was sitting there, I'm like, you know who actually gives me hope in this entire film? Wonder Woman.
Yeah. I got hope for Man of Steel 2 from the one-liner. Just him, like, I believe in hope.
But how are they going to explain Clark Kent came back from death?
Yeah.
Unless it's like, well, you see, during the fight of Steppenwolf, Clark Kent randomly woke up. He punched his way out of the grave, just like Jason Todd.
And Jason Todd?
Dick Grayson.
Part of me was, when they showed Batman, we didn't even talk about J.K. Simmons.
He's great.
Yeah. He had the exact Gordon voice I was hoping for.
He had the Gordon look.
Yeah, he was great.
I mean,
for his two scenes.
Some of our, we listened to a bunch of other people. Steve and I sat down to listen to Kind of Funny talk about it. But they're like, it makes me hopeful that J.K. Simmons goes back to being J. Jonah Jameson. And I'm like, you know, you're not wrong.
Greg Miller was the only one Greg Miller and Cool Greg were like the only ones who seemed to like it. Yeah. Everyone else is like, oh, this is fucking awful.
Nick liked parts of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tim was very adamant about it. It's like not great at all. Like, it's just bad.
Again, we will go down here to say, so Batman vs. Superman was a good movie. This was a great movie because it was better than Batman vs. Superman.
But henceforth, it was Wonder Woman. I would say Justice League now, Batman v Soup, Suicide Squad.
Suicide what?
Yeah.
What movie?
Fuck both of you.
I mean,
we can have different opinions, and we don't have to hate each other. Like everyone on the internet wants us to.
There's 10 films, and then we can do a top 10 list.
Yeah, we got to get there though. Again, Marvel's at movie 19. DC in this new iteration is at 4. Give them time.
During the scene, like, this is like the final thing I'll say, because I'm just wondering about the complexities of Superman being alive. Part of me was sitting there, it's like, oh, they put soups in the water. I was assuming they were going to, like, boom tube him to Apocalypse, and he's going to boom tube back in the black suit as an agent of Apocalypse. Another thing, I thought he was going to, like, see the picture of his father, and it's like, I am human. Or Bruce is going to sit there, he's like, Martha!
Oh, God.
Just bring it back. Full circle.
Look, you were one of the proponents for the Martha scene.
The Martha scene makes sense!
It does! I was explaining it to my coworker, who was like, the Martha thing was just stupid. I was like, do you not understand the significance of it? Never explained it. He's like, well, I guess that's a good interpretation. No, motherfucker! That's not interpretation! That's the goddamn scene!
It's exactly what they were going for.
I do enjoy it. It's all good.
It's fun. I think it helped. Oh, man. I mean, it's a bunch of DC fans just spouting off how much we love DC.
Fuck Marvel!
Yeah, and telling
especially Ant-Man.
But as a DC fan, I appreciated that we're getting somewhere. Like, it's not... If every single movie was getting worse, I would be concerned. But they're getting better. I know it's like... We should have, like, a great movie at this point. But look at some of the early Marvel movies. Like, they weren't even rated amazingly well. They were, like, maybe 70s, 80s. Yeah, DC's getting, like, rated, like, 50s. Except Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman's the one that's done the best.
And I think one of the big problems is it came out so close to Thor. It's being sandwiched between Thor and Star Wars right now.
True.
And the only reason Thor was so good is because it has new life breathed into it. If they went with the original concept of Ragnarok, where it's supposed to be like dark and brooding,
I don't think it would have been
Thor would have failed.
Oh, yeah.
But Taika Waititi rose like a phoenix wearing a pineapple flannel shirt. I love Taika Waititi so much.
Yeah.
Yes. Then.
Are we good?
I think so. We've been talking about like almost 40 minutes about Justice League.
It was good. Watch it.
It was fun. If you like DC, if you like the animated series, like I said, back to my original point, it felt like an episode from Justice League Unlimited, and I appreciate that.
I was almost waiting for the Justice League animated series, like the Unlimited. Yeah.
All right. Great.
Thank you guys for listening, as always. If you haven't been listening, because you're one of those people who's like, yeah, fuck the spoilers. We should have done our outro a while ago. But yeah. We're trying a new thing. On our website, we have ztpodcast.com/comment. And you can send us information and we can talk about
you. You can send us things you want us to talk about or your own comments. We will not read your full name if you do not want that disclosed.
Unless you're Tim Husky.
Yeah, we've already said Tim
Husky. Aggravated Art on Facebook.
Who messaged us during this thing? Yeah, talk about me more.
Yeah. We'll also read out your reviews just as a new thing we're trying. Because so if you guys rate us and review us, it helps us get a more visibility as a podcast. Because we're just under Z2 by Devin Townsend and Z2 Comics.
We almost have it.
We want to be like in the third place margin. We're not there yet. But
close.
Send us a review, give us a like, a thumbs up, wherever you listen to us, whether it be iTunes, Google Play, or SoundCloud. It helps us get a little more visibility, and it helps us make a better show.
Or other podcast services around the globe.
Yeah. Shout out to you, podcast services, except for iTunes.
Podcast Addict on Android, best podcast app I've ever used.
DC officially confirms Doomsday Clock is a Watchmen sequel.
Oh, shit. Well,
yeah.
Breaking news.
It's official now.
But, I mean, the comic,
it's official now, Zach.
If you type in 1992, it gives you like the end is nigh article that it shows that Rorschach succeeded in his plans.
It's official that Watchman Clock is a sequel. Watchman
Doomsday Clock.
Watchman Clock.
The Watchman Clock.
Fucking know what I mean.
All Metal right. Man and Watchman Clock. Featuring Ink Spot Guy, Blue Dick, all and right. I can't think of anyone else. The guy that got hung in the double doors and got shot. I think that was Dollar Sign or something stupid. Sorry, Tim.
Anyway.
All right. Thank you, guys. We love you. Peace out.
Boy.